Hi, this is Eric Castro with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and this is the Harvest Module. It's part four, and I can't wait to get into this. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time as we look at your word. Increase our spirits in order to be a part of this end time harvest of the nations. Bless my friends, open their ears to hear, that their hearts would receive, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, we want to go to number 26, and I want to say it. Harvest is a part of your DNA. God put it in us when we, you know, believed upon Jesus Christ, but he didn't intend for us to have a mundane Christian experience. He has called us out into his fields. Those fields belong to us. They belong to our Father. And it's where our prosperity is. So let's look at this in this fourth part of this module on harvest, number 26. And the Bible says in Acts 17, verse 4, and some of them believed, and they stayed with Paul and Silas, and of devout Greeks, a great multitude. Now, we've already studied that. And of the chief women, not a few. Now, that's what we want to look at in this part of the harvest, because the gospel was going into these Gentile lands, and you're seeing not just Jews come to the Lord, but you're seeing the Gentiles, not just poor people. The gospel was impacting every level of society. And the Bible says concerning these chief women, it wasn't a few. They began to hear the gospel and they began to turn with their faith to Jesus Christ. I tell you, it's amazing to look to see that all of this is in the book of Acts. If you slow down and look at what's being said, it will change your life. Now, let's look at number 27. Now, that was in Thessalonica. Now, Paul ends up, he has to leave Thessalonica, okay? Because the Jews, they really stir up a persecution against him. But the damage had been done. A lot of people came to Christ, and a church was established there. Now, let's look at number 27. Many Jews in Berea. And, you know, the Bible says in Acts 17, 12, and therefore many of them believed. Now, let's just stop there. Now, when it says many of them believed, it's talking about the Jews. And see, the people in Berea. Now, let me just preface it with this. Every town you go to has a different personality. It's based upon the type of people that are living there or that have lived there. Deeds that have been done or things that are being done, whether good or bad. And in this town, there was something that was still virtuous, that was in Berea. And these people wanted to search the scriptures and they wanted to prove what you're preaching by the word of God. And you know what? When Paul took the scriptures out, he began to show them the Psalms, everything that was prophesied about Jesus. The Bible says this, that it wasn't a few. Many came to Christ. And I love that. Now let's go to number 28. Acts 17, 12, it's the same verse, but there's another part of the harvest. It says, not only many believed, but of the honorable women who were Greeks and of men, not a few. So it was reaching up into that higher status of society. And when the word honorable is used, it means wealthy or educated. And so here we see the power of the gospel. It is touching every level of society. Now, when you think about that, you need to think about James chapter 2, because James had to write to the church because there was a problem. When the rich people and the honorable people were being saved, when they came to the church, they were being treated better than the poor believers or the average Christian believer. So they would come into an assembly and the leader or the pastor would say, Brother John, can you sit on the floor because we have a very, very honorable guest coming. And they would sit the person right there. And so James had to begin to tell them, now listen, when it comes to the gospel, everybody's the same. And he said, remember, it's the wealthy people who haul you to court and treat you in a way that that isn't right. So he was trying to say to them, when it comes to the church, even though the gospel touches every part of society, when they come into Christ, there is no sect. There is no tier of importance. And so that's why James had to write it. The gospel was touching everybody. Now, let's look at number 29. So after Paul leaves Berea, he ends up making his way down into Athens. And so it says this, Dionysius, Demarius, and others. Acts 17:34, howbeit certain men clave to him, and they believed. Among them was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them. Now, here's Paul. I don't think he intended to go to Athens, but he ended up going to Athens. There wasn't really any pressure against him there. So he went there to wait for some of his friends, some of his colleagues. But he got into that city, and as he was looking at the darkness that was in Athens, his spirit began to stir him. And all of a sudden, he finds himself preaching the gospel, declaring the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And that message of resurrection got their attention. Before you know it, he is right there in the Areopagus. I mean, he's in the center of Greek humanism. And he is declaring the word of God. Now, most likely, as he was preaching the gospel, I bet you he felt like those words were coming right back on him. And you got to understand, he was in the center of global humanism. And he's declaring that word. And maybe, you know, when you're a preacher and you get into a situation where you're preaching and it feels like you're preaching against a brick wall, I guarantee you that's probably what was happening. Nobody turned to the Lord. They didn't even want the message. They thought about it. They said, that's a great message. And then they didn't want it, except there were three people. They heard the gospel and they believed it and they held on to Paul. They wanted Jesus. They fell in love with Jesus. And you know, when you read this, you think about the shepherd. He'll leave the 99 and he'll go find the one. And God was willing to change Paul's schedule to get him down into Athens because of these three people. Paul was probably scratching his head the whole time going, why am I here? Except at the end, when he went to leave, three beautiful people you're going to see in heaven, they were cleaving to him. I mean, they weren't letting him go. I want you to think about your life. Maybe you find yourself in a place, you're like, how did I get here? I'm not sure this was my plan. But you know what? Look for the gospel opportunity. Because like Paul, you may find three people that cleave to you. And you know what? You will have bared fruit. And that's what we're called to do. Now let's look at the next one. Let's go. This is number 30. Crispus and his house. Acts 18 verse 8. The Bible says, Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house. Now, here we have another household salvation. There was a lot of persecution there against Paul, but Crispus believed the gospel. He was a Jewish religious leader. He was overseeing the synagogue right there. And when he heard the word of God, something began to burn in his heart, and he believed. And guess what? His house did too. They all came to the Lord. Now, let's look at number 31 because it ties together. So many Corinthians. So Crispus was a Jew. His household, they were Jews. So not a lot of Jews believed, but Crispus did. But it didn't stop there because the Bible says in Acts 18:8, And many of the Corinthians, hearing the gospel, believed it, and they were baptized. Now, they really believed it. Can you imagine? You've never heard this gospel before, and all of a sudden, you... In fact, in some of the scripture, like in the book of Titus, you see that through the preaching of the gospel, Christ is manifested. To me, all that means is as they were preaching the gospel, all of a sudden, the eyes of their understanding were opened and they could see the truth. They could see Christ, whether, that he was standing there like he did for Paul, or they just could see the truth. And they believed. They didn't just believe. I mean, they said, we want to be baptized too. And they went down and baptized them. So you see the power of the gospel touching Jews, touching Gentiles. It's for every man. And so let's see here. The majority of the Jews had rejected. Many of the Corinthians, though, accepted. The acceptance by the Gentiles provoked the Jews to greater envy. They hated Paul. And that's the thing about it. As he went in there and began to declare the word of God, taking the Old Testament prophets, many of the Psalms where David was prophesying into the future with a word of God's wisdom. And he was convincing them, and they chose not to believe. Remember, you can't harden your heart unless you've been convicted of the truth. Now think about that. Many of these Jews, they were convicted of the truth. In fact, Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to convict of sin. And the Holy Spirit was working. Now, and I want you to think about that. As we go through all these examples of harvest, we're looking at Paul, we're looking at Peter, we're looking at these men. I want you to look at the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is doing far more than what you're reading. We're only getting a very small account. It's very powerful. It's very anointed. It's all we were needed to have, right? But the Holy Spirit was working on a level that was far greater, and he's still working today. Praise God. And so as Paul's preaching the gospel, there are Jews who are believing, but the Gentiles, they're coming to Christ. And it's causing the unbelieving, hard-hearted Jews to be moved with envy and hardness of heart. Well, that's the reality of it. Now, Deuteronomy 32:21, the Lord declared to Moses that he was going to drive the Jewish nation to jealousy by a people that weren't even a nation. Can you believe that? That's the church. The church really isn't a nation of people, of one people. It's a nation that's made up of the nations. And with that entity called the church, God says, I'm going to provoke the Jews to envy. Oh, my goodness. Powerful, isn't it? Let's look at number 32. 12 of John's disciples in Ephesus. Acts 19:5-7, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. They spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men, they were about 12. You know, I find many times as I'm witnessing and sharing the gospel with people, I find people just like this. They know a lot about the Bible, and they do love God. They're not against God. They're not against Jesus. But you know what? They're not established in their faith. They haven't come into a fullness of that relationship with Christ. See, I believe that that's what was happening here. Paul finds these believers, and they knew all about Jesus through John. John preached about Jesus. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So, they were disciples after John. They were following a Jesus through John's preaching. It wasn't a fullness of the gospel. But you know what? They love God. And so here is Paul beginning to ask them questions. He's probing. He's trying to find out where they really are. And as evangelists, that's who you are, as evangelists, it's very important that as we declare the gospel, that we take time to figure out where people are. And from there, begin to build a foundation to bring them into a fullness of faith. Well, in this story, when they heard the full gospel, not just about the Lamb of God through John's messages, they heard about the Lamb of God through Paul. And that's powerful. They were baptized. He laid his hands upon them and they were full of the Holy Ghost. They began to pray in tongues and they began to prophesy. I love it. There wasn't anything. I mean, you know, when you come into Christ, you are immediately made an able minister of the gospel. And that's what you see here. And that's what caused many of the Jewish priests, many of the Jewish leaders to turn to Christ, because they saw things like this. They saw people, normal disciples, where the power of God comes on them, and all of a sudden, they're prophesying. They were so hungry, not only just for God, but to be used by God. So are we, aren't we? Oh, we sure are. Now, let's go on. Let's go on to number 33. The word many. Think about the word many. Acts 19, verse 18. Many that believed, they came, confessed, and showed their deeds. Now, this is in Ephesus. Wow, you got a couple of hours to talk about Ephesus? Ephesus was a battleground. Paul went in there like a soldier of God, and he began small, but the power of God fell. And I tell you what, was there persecution? There was a lot of persecution in Ephesus, but it didn't stop the power of God. And, you know, I think it was in Ephesus that I think Paul was thinking back to some times that he spent with Peter and James and John, where he was early in his faith. And he said, tell me what it was like to follow Jesus. Wouldn't we do that? If you had time with Peter, wouldn't you say, tell me some stories. I want to hear them from you. And he begins to talk. And I think in some of the stories, they probably said, you know, there was a time where a lady with an issue of blood came and Jesus didn't even know who she was. She came in behind and pressed through the crowd and just touched his garment. And Paul said, you mean the healing power of God was so tangible in Jesus's clothes that she could just touch his clothes? And Peter said it was more than that, because there were days where multitudes would come and Jesus couldn't even talk to him. He was just walking and they were touching his clothes, and his garments were saturated in that presence of God. I bet you Paul said, John, you laid against him during the Last Supper. I heard about that. What was that like to lay up against Jesus? And John was like, there's nothing like it. The power and the glory, the peace, the anointing, I just felt like I was saturated and clothed in a warm, silky garment of his presence and his love. So Paul is thinking about these supernatural operations. He might have thought about Peter telling him about his shadow, how his shadow healed people as he walked through Jerusalem. So here is Paul in Ephesus. People are coming and saying, Paul, you have to come here. Paul, you have to come there. Oh, my grandma's sick. Oh, my uncle needs help. My little brother. And you know what he said? He said, wait a minute. The healing power of God is tangible. Bring me some handkerchiefs. And he began to pray and say, Lord Jesus, I'm asking that your glory, just like when you were here on the earth, would saturate these pieces of cloth so that when they touch it, the same results would happen. And they sent them out. They began to hear demons are coming out of people. People are being healed. And all of a sudden, these stories of the power of God are going out through the city of Ephesus. And all of a sudden, there's these sons of Sceva. They're not Christians. They're exorcists. And they think, this Paul and this Jesus, there's some power here. Let's use it. Let's try to harness this power. Well, they picked a demonized guy. You know the story. They said, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches. And the devil stopped him and said, I know Jesus and I know Paul. I don't know you. And can you believe it? That demon jumped on those guys, beat them up, tore their clothes off, bruised them. And they probably didn't try that again. They probably changed jobs. But when that happened because of all of the real operations of power coming from Paul and the church. So now when the story of the sons of Sceva go out, the fear of God is falling upon Ephesus. And the devil doesn't know what to do. People who had been involved in witchcraft are coming, laying their books and their idols, and they're burning them with fire. And it's such a huge stack of books, all on the occult. Can you believe that? No different today. Go to a bookstore. They have shelves on the occult. It was no different in Ephesus. So the power of God was moving through Ephesus. And in this harvest, many, many believed. And that's powerful. How important is the power of God upon the church? It's crucial. Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem. What? Without it. Because I want you to start in Jerusalem, but by the time you get up to Ephesus, I want that power in demonstration, because there's a lot of people that are going to come to Christ. Oh, I love it. Now let's look at number 34, some believed. Now that's sounds a little bit negative, doesn't it? Some believed. Acts 28, 24, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. The book of Acts closes with Paul in Rome speaking to the Jews who came to hear him. He used the law of Moses and the prophets to convince them that Jesus is the Christ, Yeshua, the Mashiach. The result was some believed. Others, by an act of their will, chose not to believe. And that's just kind of the reality, isn't it? When you're convinced by Scripture, and you choose not to believe, then you harden your heart. And that brings us to number 35. And number 35 is my favorite. It's going to be your favorite too. You know why? You're in this one. I am in this one. Everybody you know, your family, everyone that's serving Christ today, you're in number 35. Now look at this, the Gentiles. Acts 28, 28, Paul says, be it known therefore to you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. And now watch this. He receives a word of wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And he says this, and they will hear it. Paul knew that his life was coming to an end. And he had fought the Lord's battles. He had persevered, starting in Jerusalem, ending in Rome. And here he is going head to head with his countrymen, other Jews. Some were coming to the Lord. That's a tremendous testimony. But once again, he's faced with a stiff neck, a hardness of heart, where these Jews are refusing to accept Jesus. And in this, a holy anger rises up in him. And right at that moment, God gives him a word of God's wisdom. He sees into the future, just a little glimpse. He sees in and he sees you and me. And he says, the Gentiles are going to receive this. And friend, 2,000 years later, here you and I sit studying the book of Acts, studying Paul's life and Peter's life. And we received Christ. We came to know him. And you know what? This harvest hasn't ended. We are living in the church age. The rapture of the church hasn't happened yet. Even though it looks like there's a lot of judgment, a lot of wrath, there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of sin in the world we live in. That's the best environment for a mighty move of God. You and I have to be strong. You and I have to get the book of Acts into us in order to stand on this rock of revelation, in order to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and to just stand our ground, knowing that that revelation is the revelation the church has been built upon, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Listen, be encouraged. Go to our website at www.4smiles.com. Get more training. Go over these videos. Go over them over and over. I believe that this message is for this time. I sense it. I sense that anointing. You have to get this in you. And there, we have training on the website, evangelism training. Learn how to talk to people about Jesus. You can't be a part of the harvest unless you learn to what? Speak. Very crucial. We love you. God bless you. Until we come back together in another study session, always know Jesus is Lord and He loves you. We do too. Bye-bye.